Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This segment of the Football Ramble is brought to you in partnership with Doritos, the official snack sponsor of the UEFA Women's Euro 2022. They're encouraging fans up and down the country to get behind what's going to be a tournament like never before. I'm joined by Flo Lloyd-Hughes, host of our fantastic women's football show Up Front over on Football Ramble Presents, to celebrate what makes football so gosh darn special. The fans. It's the fans. Hello, Flo.
I thought you were going to say it's the Doritos.
It's That's the Doritos. Well, I've already heard that I'm going to be hearing a crunch crunch later on?
Crunch crunch, baby.
Crunch crunch, baby. I think we're allowed to slide that in. So we're on the eve of what's going to be truly a magical football tournament. It's been an incredible season for women's football. We had a record-breaking attendance for the FA Cup final, touching 50,000 fans pretty much. Some of the best goals ever seen in an FA Cup final, I think it's fair to say. What was the atmosphere like compared to other cup matches, other cup competitions you've been to, Flo?
Yeah, really good atmosphere. I think even though the best weather was probably the final in May. Mm. It was a little bit rainy still. It always seems to rain on FA Cup final day. But I think the atmosphere in December, actually, for the sort of delayed 2020-21 Cup final was probably the better atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, what does kind of a Cup final like that go for you? Because obviously you're working pretty much every fixture going, I think it's fair to say. You're the busiest woman in football. What does a day like that look like? You arrive at the stadium, you're kind of like setting yourself up to broadcast, to do little inserts for radio shows and television, stuff like that. Can you focus on the game when it actually starts? Are you all over the place?
I think Wembley's really special. I mean, I'm sure you've been to Wembley. I'm sure lots of people that listen to our podcast have been to Wembley, and people around the world, I'm sure, would love to come to Wembley if you're a football fan. And even though obviously a lot changed when they changed the stadium, rebuilt the stadium, there is something still quite special about that view when you come out of the tube and you see the arch and you kind of look down Wembley Way and you see the stadium. And on a match day in particular, it has an extra level of uniqueness to it, because everyone is just so excited. You can really feel it. You get to the tube and you see all these kids and all these girls, young girls and boys, who are so excited.
Yeah.
And me and my friends always joke that we like get tears in our eyes because we're just so sad and like anything will make us cry.
Yeah.
But that is really special. So it is hard when you're when you yourself were really excited about the day and you're like, right, okay, I actually have to focus on doing my job, because those cup final days at Wembley and the final as well, the Euros being at Wembley, is going to be so, so special. I can't wait for that. Even, you know, obviously myself and I'm sure lots of other fans would be really, really excited to see England in that final. But regardless, I think a final at Wembley is always special.
I'm driving by your house, even though I know you're not home, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Christian Eriksen's off to Old Trafford, and Mo Salah is staying at Anfield. It's Tuesday, 5th of July. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
The boys of summer are here, everybody. Good to have you with us. Oi, oi, oi. Come on.
How you doing?
Jimmy's got his legs out.
I do have my legs out, yeah.
Not all of them. He does have a pair of shorts. Yeah,
thank you for clarifying.
Andy, do you know what? Do you know what we're going to start with today?
What are we going to start with?
England under-19s winning the European Championships, baby.
Okay, can you do it?
Easy! How about that? How about that? It's the one we wanted.
Exactly. It's very exciting. And you feel that,
sound exciting, Andy.
You feel that England have been on the right track in terms of youth development for a while now. I think if you look at the results at age group tournaments, I think the interesting thing for me was the performance of Kani Chukwuemeka in this.
Yes.
Because he's been at the centre of a kind of low-key transfer saga. Scored in the final, very good during the tournament. Borussia Dortmund thought they had him because, of course, they are becoming a prolific pincher of young English talent. You had Jadon Sancho, Jamie Bynoe-Gittens is, I think, going to have a great season there going forward. And they were very keen on Chukwuemeka, but Villa are really digging their heels in, as they bloody well should, on the evidence of this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from an England fan's point of view, I don't mind them. Let Dortmund, you know,
absolutely,
own these young talents.
Have your cool little Bundesliga crash. We're all for it.
Absolutely.
It must be very tempting, right? Well, as a young English player, when you see what players have gone on to do over there.
Yeah. Well, I think he was born in Austria, so he may be... Right. He was young when he moved away, so maybe slightly au fait with the German language as well. But he lit up the tournament, there's no doubt about it. But Ian Foster's side, they're the ones who have got their name on the trophy. England, of course, also won the Euros under-19s in 2017. All that's missing is the big one, the big boy one.
Mm. Under-21s.
This year, we're going to get the under-19s,
yes,
the Women's Euros, there, and the World Cup. It's going to be amazing.
Clean sweep, Andy.
Yep, that's what I call an international year.
That's what I call an international year too, Beg Brassel. Right, boys, from the dizzying heights of the European under-19 championships to the Premier League, Christian Eriksen has agreed in principle to join Manchester United. Looks like this one's happening. And guys, what a flipping turnaround, Jim Campbell. I mean, we all know the journey that Eriksen's on, of course, came back to the Premier League with Brentford last season, da-di-da-di-da. And now it looks like he's going to be playing at Old Trafford. Yeah. I know Manchester United are not where they were a few years ago.
Old Trafford's falling down as
well. Exactly, yeah. You may have noticed,
rats,
ladies and gentlemen.
Is it mice? Yeah. Either way, not ideal.
But this is quite something.
It really is. I mean, as well, it's you've got to look at it from Eriksen's point of view as well. He had an offer to stay at Brentford. They were brilliant for him, obviously, and he was brilliant for them. And that's a really nice story. But you can understand why he'd want to go to a club with respect to Brentford, a much higher level at this point. And
a higher level.
Yeah. Some people seem a little bit underwhelmed by it. I've heard a few people sort of across the media talking about that. But I think, again, and I'm going to keep banging this drum because it is going to be one of the most significant changes we've seen in football. The 5 substitutes rule next season is going to make I think playmakers are going to be having added value, really, because there are so many more opportunities to come to change a game by introducing a player. And Eriksen is someone with so much experience. He's so good at creating chances. Mm-hmm. And I think Man United often, they look a bit pedestrian, don't they? They look a bit like, you know, if a defence just stands up to them, they don't really know what to do. They don't have any lock pickers in there. Obviously, Bruno Fernandes is pretty good at that. And it's interesting that they play in the same position. So we'll see how often they're on the pitch together. That might be quite interesting. But I think it's a good signing for them and for him. It works.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing about the Bruno Fernandes, Andy, and so on, because people seem to be thinking, you know, well, hang on, will they play together? Will Eriksen be on the bench? You know, what will happen? Do you see Eriksen competing with that particular position? Or do you think Ten Hag might maybe play him as slightly further back? Where would you see him fitting into that midfield?
Yeah, I think he will, Marcus. And I don't think it's an either-or at all in that sense. I think it will be a good thing for Bruno Fernandes that Christian Eriksen is in there, because let's be clear, the bit where United mainly need to improve is midfield. That has been their difficulty over the last season or two. And we've seen with Eriksen how he changed while he was in Italy, because originally he came in as that dedicated playmaker, and Antonio Conte was him and Eriksen didn't really get on from the get-go. And I think Eriksen himself said what really made it work at Inter is him understanding that you have to follow exactly what Conte says, which Spurs players are finding out at the moment, you know. And I think it was interesting to see him play in a deeper position at Inter, really, really flourish, a bit of self-sacrifice involved. And it showed that sort of versatility. I think the two other things, that Erik ten Hag, I think, is the perfect coach for him, because he wants to build that sort of Ajax-y midfield. And we'll see if he gets Frenkie de Jong, et cetera, et cetera. And if Donny van der Beek gets a significant go going forward. But going back to Jim's point about being able to create in a limited moment, I think if you go back and look at the amount of assists provided by players in the Premier League over the last 7 years, Eriksen's still just behind Kevin De Bruyne. Now, bear in mind, A, he didn't have a great last half season at Tottenham when he was looking to leave, and he was marginalised a bit. B, he actually went to another club for a couple of years. C,
and won Serie A there.
C, he had half a season out of the game, a little bit more. And yet still, his numbers are right up there. So, you know, he can sort of, as well as helping you play good football, he can actually sort of skip the need to play it as well by creating something from nothing. So I agree with Jim's point totally.
No, I think that's fair. And something you touched on as well, Jim, that some people were underwhelmed by this signing for Manchester United and say, yeah, but if they're going to compete with Liverpool and Man City, the fact is, what on earth would Manchester United have to do in the summer to compete with Liverpool and Man City? It's almost impossible,
really. They'd set themselves up to fail if they tried to do that.
Totally.
You've got to, you know, take each step that's in front of you.
Yeah, because Liverpool and Man City, it didn't happen overnight. You remember Guardiola and Klopp, it took a few years, and you have to build and bring in signings and you have to do all that kind of stuff. And that's what Manchester United are presumably hoping to do with Ten Hag at the helm. And I understand, yes, that Eriksen may not get in. You know, perhaps Man City and Liverpool weren't interested in, well, they weren't interested in, blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't mean it's an underwhelming sign for Manchester. I think it's a good, solid signing.
I think he improves them.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
100%.
I think we're all agreed there. I mean, with Tottenham Hotspur, you obviously mentioned where you played there, they had been looking at him, apparently, but decided to consider other options, which I thought was maybe slightly surprising, because Conte had worked with him before, but then maybe Conte's thinking, you know what, but perhaps, well, he obviously thought differently, quite frankly, but I think it's a good signing, as you say. And he, and with the substitutes, he can change a game. And they need a squad. They need something in there, because it has been pretty piss poor at Manchester United, as we know.
That might also explain why it's a three-year contract now. I know he's only 30, but you would think a player at sort of 33 playing in that position might start to lose their effectiveness. But again, with five subs, it's good news for older players, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Good news for older players, Andy. And that leads us neatly onto Cristiano Ronaldo. Because he wants to leave. Cristiano Ronaldo has thought, bollocks to this, I can't be arsed. Get me back in the Champions League, baby.
He is hard work, isn't he? He is high maintenance as a bloke.
Yeah, well,
why have you said this now?
He said that he wants to leave. One of the reasons is because of the lack of ambition in the summer transfer window. Now, if I was Christian Eriksen, I'd be like, "Come on, pal! Am I not enough for you?" Well, clearly not. He's concluded that they cannot win the Premier League. I mean, Cristiano, you should have realised that even before you went to Manchester United, let alone needing any time during this summer. He wants to play in the Champions League, apparently. He wasn't training on Monday for family reasons. He has been spotted in Portugal recently, but, you know, that's going to happen. But Manchester United, they seem to be clear that he's not for sale. which is interesting. Your friend of mine, Tony Cascarino, said recently on the radio that he's suspicious of Ronaldo and claiming that he wants to quit Manchester United because he fears Lionel Messi will overtake him as the all-time record Champions League goal scorer. Now, normally I would dismiss that as a load of nonsense, but I think Tony's got a point there, Jim.
He's suspicious that Cristiano Ronaldo has a lot of personal ambition.
Well, that's not the most laser-guided insight, is it? But you understand that he's thinking, oh, I can't let Messi have that record, surely.
No, I imagine there is a little bit of truth to that, but I'm not sure it would be as petty as, oh, I can't let Messi overtake me. It's more like I need to add to my own legacy in the Champions League. But still, the fact that we've not seen Man United linked with anyone else in this position all summer implies to me that this has truly come out of the blue for them.
Mm.
And I guess they're going to have to dig in, right? Because can they add a player in that position to their budget?
Yeah,
really, because they won't get a huge amount for Ronaldo.
There are two ways of looking at it, as there are always two ways of looking at Ronaldo as the footballer. It's either extreme selfishness or laudable ambition. And I like the fact, personally, that he wants to force the issue, that he wants to get back in the Champions League. I mean, he's going to be 38 in February. He can't hang about, can he? Now, I agree with Jim's point that maybe if that's the sole motivation, he should have thought about that a little bit earlier. But it's one of those things, like, you feel as if he's given Erik ten Hag like a smidgen of a chance, but not a full chance. Like, I would compare it to example when, I don't know, if like, I was with my wife at a wedding and she would, like, the DJ puts a song on and after 5 seconds, if it's not a banger immediately, she's like, that shit, get it off. It feels like that's what's happened. You know, Ten Hag's gone, well, I've got a series of plans and they're, right, you want to leave? Okay.
Andy, is this why you stopped DJing? Like,
I only got 2 seconds.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a joke in there somewhere. But apparently Chelsea are open to signing him. That's the word on the streets.
Yes. Again, this Chelsea's transfer strategy is very interesting at the moment, isn't it? Because they seem to be linked with players that someone else has been linked with in the you know, the days prior.
Mm.
And this seems like, can you imagine Tuchel wanting Ronaldo at this point of his career?
Yeah,
it seems really unlikely, isn't it?
I tell you why the transfer strategy is a bit interesting, as you may think, because Todd Bowley, the Chelsea co-owner, has appointed himself as interim sporting director after Marina Granovskaya departed. And big Todd, you know, he's worked in sport a lot. Obviously, he's an astute business, blah, blah, blah. But he hasn't worked in football. Mm. I understand someone's got to do the job. But if you're trying to sell a player, right, currently, Chelsea have got a lot of money, you could lead him up the garden path, I reckon.
Well, yeah, that's what everyone's assuming, isn't it? I mean, well, he's obviously...
He's been meeting with George Mendes.
Well, he's not an idiot, is he? Let's be honest. He wouldn't be in the position he's in if he was. So
no, but it doesn't mean to say that he knows the ropes.
No, absolutely. No. It's a surprising decision. I'm sure it will only be a temporary one. But perhaps they're taking a hit this year. And he's thinking, well, the best way for me to understand this industry is actually for me to dive in head first, go hands on.
Mm.
I mean, I don't remember an example of this in the past for any club.
He's definitely going in head first. I mean, as I say, he's been meeting with George Mendes. You know, he's thinking, who's the guy who owns the keys to all
Where's
the doors?
Where's
my
wallet?
Yeah.
I mean,
keys to the weekend.
What, this guy owns my house now? What?
But I think he's basically going, who have you got on your books? And he's gone, well, here's a DVD of Cristiano Ronaldo's best moments. Give him. I need him. I want him. Andy, what do you reckon? Chelsea, Tuchel wouldn't fancy him, surely.
Chelsea have wrecked some extraordinary strikers down the years. Obviously, most recently, Lukaku. You go back, you look at Shevchenko, Fernando Torres. I mean, this would be a step further, even for them.
This would be the cherry on the cake.
Non-scoring Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, I don't know. It depends on a lot, doesn't it? I think the most difficult thing is that Ronaldo coming off the bench doesn't appear to be something that he wants to countenance, because I actually think that would be pretty useful. I think the trick would be...
I agree with that.
The trick would be for Chelsea or whoever else are going to buy him to appoint Fernando Santos, because he is the one, as Portugal coach, who has managed to get Ronaldo to accept different roles. He's like, well, okay, I'm going to create a new system where you don't have to do as much running. I'm going to create a system where you don't leave the penalty box. And then in the last international break, I'm not going to start you simply because I don't think you should start this game. And he accepts all of that. And it's funny, he wouldn't take it off most people. So maybe that is the thing. I think that's the logical thing. Either Fernando Santos to Chelsea or Ronaldo goes to... It would be a great way of breaking the Lewandowski deadlock if he went to Bayern and they said, okay, we'll hold you to the last year of your contract, Levy. You're going to be on the bench behind Cristiano. I mean, that would be pretty exciting, wouldn't it?
Well, it would, but aren't Bayern a bit sensible for that?
Everyone's too sensible for this.
Suddenly selling bouncy castles as well. You know what I mean? It's just like, it seems incredibly silly and unlikely.
Yeah,
their point of view.
I would have thought that...
Totally.
But I think he clearly wants to stay in Europe. I always thought, would he go to MLS? And perhaps maybe in a year or two, maybe in his 40s, he'll go there. But I do think that, as you mentioned, the legacy, and he still wants to play in the Champions League, because we could. I think people have been a little bit harsh with Ronaldo last season, saying, oh, well, because, you know, he was never going to work out at Manchester United, blah, 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 as if he was one of the reasons why Manchester United were quite poor last season.
Mm.
I actually don't agree with that. I think he papered over a lot of cracks. He scored quite a lot of goals, considering.
He did, but isn't the argument really that they're forced to play in a certain system that doesn't ultimately benefit them?
I think...
Yeah, and the overall number of goals has gone down for United. So, yeah, he papers over and arguably contributes to a degree of dysfunction, doesn't he?
Essentially, yeah. You have no first line of defence, which is really, really important.
Yeah, I just think...
Modern football.
True, but I just think you could have had... You know, one of the top strikers in the world currently playing there. I don't think you could have had Harry Kane up front. I don't think it would have made that much of a difference, to be perfectly honest with you.
It's a uniquely weird situation for sure, where people are saying that the club's top scorer is the cause of all their problems. Again, don't remember that ever happening before. But, I mean, might it be a good thing for Man United to just move on early if they can get a replacement in?
I think it's good for everyone.
I think it is good for everybody. But what also, Andy, is good for everybody, according to Mo Salah, is that he signed a 3-year contract with Liverpool, making him the highest played player in the club's history. He said it was a happy day for everybody on Friday, especially his bank manager. But yeah, Liverpool's new sporting director flew to Mykonos to see Salah while he was on holiday this week to seal the deal. Would you want that? Would you want... Like someone interrupting your holiday, or would you think, oh, I'm pretty important, they're flying out to see me?
If they were going to give me $350,000 a week, I'd make the space in my holiday schedule, for sure.
But yours is a bit of a jump. I think Salah sort of built up to that.
This is true.
Even you'd be surprised at that, Jim.
I would.
If I turned up when you were away and be like, Jim, you've got to sign this contract, baby. It's a happy day for everybody.
Yeah. He didn't make much effort to fit them in, did he? Because given what a big deal it was... He basically did the presentation video from his sunbed, didn't he? Mm. Which I thought was fair enough. You know,
when you say sunbed, do you mean lounger? You don't mean like, because presumably you wouldn't.
Oh no, that's a very good point. Yeah. You don't want to get Rodney trotted on your day of glory.
You certainly don't. And also, you just said, what are you doing? There's blazing sunshine out there. You get the natural stuff if you want.
Either way, look, I think it's a great thing for Liverpool, not just because. It would have been really quite damaging to lose Salah and Mane in the same summer. But a lot of people are talking about what a big investment it is. I think there are two aspects to this. One, he's so important from a commercial point of view. And we can see through the completely dumb things that Barcelona are doing at the moment, the short-termist financial gambles that they're taking. To allow themselves a bit of latitude and to get out there and sign players, that you need superstars. You need superstars, not just for your team, but in terms of sponsorship, in terms of visibility. You know, it matters to the financial health of the club. So I think it's worth speculating to accumulate. The other thing as well, when you're signing an existing player to a new contract, you don't have to go out there. And we've seen with Darwin Nunez, for example, you know, if you're going to buy a player to maintain or improve Liverpool's team, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And that's before you even get to signing on fees and wages. So I think it's a sensible deal for everyone.
Yeah, well, this will cost Liverpool $55 million over 3 years with a contract ending after Salah turns 33. So as Andy said, I mean, if you wanted to replace him, you'd probably have to spend more than $55 million,
yeah, you would
think, with those kind of goals. But also as well, Jim, I think with Salah, like, his best footballing years have been at Liverpool. There's no doubt about that. He had a great time at Roma, hence Liverpool signed him. But the system Klopp plays, the way they set up, it massively plays to his strength. It suits him. Whereas I understand if he was signed by a big club, they'd obviously make arrangements for him to play there. But not necessarily to the extent of what he has at Liverpool.
I mean, if he stays fit, he will almost certainly become Liverpool's all-time top scorer in the Premier League next season.
And one of the greatest players in their history. Well, he already is, but
that's what maybe goes overlooked a little bit. Like, yes. He is as close to being irreplaceable as any player can be for them in the position he's in. So yes. I agree. Like, kind of breaking their wage structure might have some repercussions later, but I think with the way we're seeing salaries inflate, that was, you know, it's kind of inevitable for most clubs that's going to happen, to hang on to a player of that caliber. But yeah, I think it makes so much sense. I can't see him dropping off as well, because he's just been fantastic for so long, and now he's got that security as well. He'll feel a bit more comfortable. Yes. It's been a bit of a saga, actually, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. And also as well, that people will have their opinions on, has he held the club to ransom? And others will say, well, no, the clubs, the way they treat players, you know, the players should get as much as they can. The thing is, you're not there with the conversations. You can't get inside that player's head. It's 6 to 1 and half a dozen to the other. So I think when all said and done, as Andy sort of quite rightly said there, you want to keep one of your best players in the club's history at the club, especially when he's got, according to Klopp, his best years still yet to come. I mean, that might be quite extreme, but Klopp didn't know. He said, well, think about what he's done before. 3 golden boots in 5 years in the Premier League. That's quite a big leap.
Yeah, Marcus, I don't think it is a leap to say that as well. If you look at forward players and how they have not just maintained but improved into their 30s, there's no reason to assume that won't be the case for Salah. Of course, there's no reason to assume that won't be the case for Sadio Mane as well, as we'll see with Bayern Munich in the Champions League, I suspect.
Andy, what did you think of Barcelona? Apparently, they were one of several European clubs who asked Rami Abbas Issa, Salah's representative, to keep them updated on his situation. Bless him, Andy. Bless him.
They do love a bit of self-delusion, don't they? They absolutely love a bit of self-delusion.
Do they not know how money works? Keep us updated.
Well, evidently not. They wouldn't be in this position where they did.
Is he going to go for free? He's not going for free. No, that's not.
He'll want paying.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, tell him we're interested.
Yeah. Has he said at any point he'll play for free? No, that's not happening. Okay. Keep us updated.
You know, Marcus, we were talking about the fact that you could play on the pitch at the Camp Nou for 300 euros.
Salah should hire it out with his mates.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go, I'm appeared for you.
If we give you like 1,000 free games there, yeah. How will that do?
There we are. That's it.
You and your pals.
Paid in free games.
Internship.
In a way. Lovely stuff. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be alright.
Hi. I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's time for emails.
Philippe has been in touch and he says, greetings all. I've been in Sheffield the past 2 days, generally having a mooch around. Interesting choice. Within about an hour of my arrival, I happened across this outside Sheffield City Hall. What this happens to be is a picture of Are You With Me? A Night with Neil Warnock. Aware of your penchant for former managers work in the circuit, I thought this would be of interest. That's right, it appears that Neil Warnock is doing a sort of evening with and seemingly for one night only. Can we please have a special one-off at the match where maybe Brassel or whoever fancies it attends and tries to keep his head down whilst Warnock dishes out zingers, truth bombs and acerbic one-liners?
Andy, come on.
That could be or whoever fancies it, I think.
It is interesting to me that it's one night only.
Yeah.
Got some things to get off my chest.
After this, I'll need a lawyer. I don't know, though. Is it not? Because he's, you know, he obviously is synonymous with Sheffield.
It's all going to be about Carlos Tevez, isn't it? And Sean Bean.
Maybe. But
time he dropped a C-bomb about him in front of his kids.
Bean's got to be there, surely.
I doubt it. I'm not sure they've stayed in touch.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Well, I suspect that maybe this is... This is a little teaser, and if it goes well, it could be nationwide.
Yeah, maybe it's a pilot.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to be a chat show. We'll senior El Chiringuito. We thought we can have a go.
If he's playing Sheffield City Hall, how big is the bum bag going to have to be?
Oh, my goodness, Andy. That's a great point, that is.
Bring your own
bum bag, I'd say.
IKEA bum bag, maybe.
It'll just ride along in a big Segway with a big bin on the front of it.
He's definitely, in years to come, you'll see him down in Cornwall riding around on a little Segway. That's it, Neil Warnock. Lovely. I honestly, if you're in the Sheffield area, please go along. Well, if you're not, if you're willing to travel, get involved, because I don't think Andy's going to go. And let us know what happens there. Show up footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Gentlemen, I'd like to talk about something a little bit off the beaten track, if you will. Usain Bolt. Do you remember when he signed for Central Coast Mariners 4 years ago, and it didn't quite go to plan? He suggested that signing for them was a mistake and blamed his failed spell there on the quality of the A-League. Now, I know we've seen quite arrogant comments from a certain Australian at Wimbledon this summer. Well, this is a kind of a bit of reverse. Australia's in the firing line with this one. I went to Australia, but the level of football there wasn't good. I should have stayed in Europe, according to Usain Bolt.
Yeah, it would have been easier in the La Liga.
It should have
strange logic, isn't it?
Who was trying to keep him in Europe, by the way? He always used to go on about, I'm a Man United fan, and he would turn up at Old Trafford, it's like that. Okay, I know they're not as good as they used to be. This isn't happening, Usain. I admire your balls.
Yeah, bless him for trying to live his dream, but
absolutely.
It was never going to work. I think he was offered a spot at a team in Malta, which he turned down, so maybe that's what he's referring to.
Well, I can't imagine that the Maltese League is better than the A-League, but you never know. I've not sampled either, to be quite frank.
Well, the fact is, if you do end up playing in Malta, you will get a shot probably at the first qualifying round of the Champions League. So you could say you played in the Champions League, albeit for, you know, Hibernians in the first qualifying round. I mean, you'd take that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think Hibernians... Doesn't the Champions League start next week, or is it this week?
This week,
It is this week. I think Hibernians are involved, aren't they?
They are. They're away at Shamrock Rovers.
They are. And we have to... That's nice, that. It kind of works. We have to stress the S on the end of Hibernians, by the way, because there's no chance that lot are getting
Hibs's.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But I was more of an FC Valletta man, Andy. But,
yeah, I bet you were. I bet you were.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Beautiful city, Valletta. Tiny but beautiful. Much like myself. Okay. oh, dear. Speaking of acrimonious exits, if we can call that acrimonious exit bolt from Central Coast Mariners, former Burnley midfielder Dale Stevens revealed he learned of his exit from the club through Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I know everything's on social media these days, Jim, but some things should be kept to the fax machine.
Not great, is it? Falling apart without Sean Dyche.
I know, yeah. He knew his contract was up, but then saw he was on the release list on Twitter rather than being informed by club officials. That's piss poor. That yeah, really is
whatever the reason for that. I'm sure it's just some sort of admin cock-up, but it's just not good, is it?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. James Tarkowski, he's on the move. He left Burnley and he's moved to Everton. He was well aware of all
found
this.
Found out on YouTube.
He did. he's been confirmed. I mean, is that not the most sort of predictable signing of the season? James Tarkowski to Everton.
Yeah.
Sort of a solid, 6 or 7 out of 10 Premier League defender.
He's right up there for... like shots blocked and clearances and stuff and all the sort of the good stuff that you want your all-action defenders to be doing. So actually, I think it's a really, really good signing for him.
I feel like he'll have the chance to keep those stats up while he's at Everton next season.
Yeah, that's what
well.
I mean. Yeah, I think he fits
likes
the bill.
Being busy.
Very busy.
He's gone to the right place.
Yeah. No, as you say, Jimmy, he's ranked first in the Premier League for both clearances and shot blocked and was second for aerial duels won. It does... testified to the fact that he was at Burnley, of course, and they did go down.
And an excellent fighter pilot in his spare time.
There we are. There we are, everybody. So, yeah, now he's with Frank Lampard, who will get a big old tune out of him. He would certainly hope to think. But Duncan Ferguson's not going to be there because he's left to pursue his ambitions in management. He worked under seven different managers at Goodison Park, but he's gone. Where's Duncan going to pop up? There was talk about Blackburn, wasn't there, not that long ago. Of course, but we'd like to see Duncan having a go at being a number one, Andy.
Yeah, I think that would be immensely exciting, probably for quite a short period of time, because you have to bear in mind, nothing against him, but modern footballers are modern footballers. They need egos massaged. I think that's the interesting thing about him, that he's someone who will be making his way as a head coach, a relatively young head coach, despite having, that all that experience as a backup. And I mean, he's been through several different lives as the assistant coach stroke caretaker at Everton, but he's got a demeanour that's from a different time. I don't know. Do you think he's like the successor for Diego Simeone at Atletico Madrid? It'd save him a bloody fortune, wouldn't it?
Yeah. He's always been very popular among the players there, though. So perhaps, his reputation precedes him a little bit there based on how he was as a player rather than as a coach.
Well, yeah, but I mean, being a number one is a very different task, isn't it? Because the buck stops with you.
Yes.
Because if you're not that, then, he can... aggressive ways can be seen as quite funny or whatever. Yeah. Because, again, you have a manager who's picking the team and all that kind of stuff. When I say aggressive ways, he is likeable, jovial ways, perhaps, but it will be interesting if he becomes a number one. But fair play to him, though. He's not going to get it at Everton, and he wants to try his luck. So we wish him all the best, certainly, because we wouldn't want to say anything negative about him. We are terrified. Elsewhere, gentlemen, Manchester City confirmed yesterday the signing of Calvin Phillips, £45 million on a six-year deal. Six-year deal. It's a good. That's that good business for Calvin Phillips. And you would have thought Manchester City. We spoke about this before, but Jim, how good a signing do you think this is for Manchester City?
He's coming in to replace Fernandinho, isn't he? Essentially, which is it's hard to call it an upgrade because Fernandinho has been such a brilliant player
and quite different.
And quite different players. Absolutely. I think he suits their style really, really well because he's so tidy, very, very good with his distribution. I think it's kind of a better signing than it initially looks like because you get so blind to City signing players and just go, oh yeah, obviously, okay, that makes sense. They wanted him, they got him, blah, blah, blah. But I think he will fit in really well with the fluidity of their style. So I think it's a good one.
Yeah, he can talk to Guardiola, of course, or Guardiola can talk to him about Bielsa and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that's why it was? Because Bielsa obviously loved him. Guardiola thought to himself, Andy, oh yeah, I've got it. This guy's been shaped by... my Lord Bielsa.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of that reflected glory in there. There's no doubt about it. But I think when you look at how City were really stretched defensively in the back end of last season and points where they had to drop Rodri, for example, to centre back, you know, they needed someone else in midfield as well. I think it gives him that extra bit of flexibility. I think it's a bit disrespectful to him to say he's just going to be a bench player for them going forward. I don't think you can really compare his situation to, say, Jack Grealish is. I think there'll be plenty of opportunity for him at Manchester City. And for you, Marcus, I think it's good for England as well.
Wow, because you're absolutely right.
He'll be playing with better players.
Yeah.
I think he'll improve as a player. And yet he's not going to play every single minute of the season. So, all good.
Yeah, so he'll be fresh for Qatar.
Yeah,
exactly.
It'll be interesting to see the reception Leeds fans give him
next
season, because he really was one of
their own, wasn't he? I mean, yeah, absolutely. And he mentioned that in his letter. But, you know, I'm sure some will understand. I'm sure some won't. It's interesting to me. This reminds me of when Alan Smith moved to Man United. And it seemed impossible that a Leeds player would go to a Manchester club. And City have also got that red trim now. And it's like, are you morphing into Man United as like a deliberate troll? Like, within 5 years, are they going to have a red kit? What do you think of this?
Do you think Vincent Tan's going to take them over? Remember when he did that at Cardiff and he wanted to change their colours from blue to red? Because, like, red was lucky where he was from or something.
Mick Hucknall's hair will turn blue.
Simply blue. It just doesn't stop, does it? Jim, talking of red, Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus,
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, who would have thought? His announcement was quite enjoyable. He did sort of a Christ the Redeemer style pose looking down over the Emirates.
Yes, Stuart McFarlane, Arsenal's club photographer, is generally excellent and has outdone himself there. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic.
Big licks.
Yeah, very much so. Is he
the saviour?
I hope so. Yeah, someone has to be. So it might as well be a centre forward. I'm really pleased with this signing because apparently three different clubs tried to hijack the deal, and it seems that Jesus really wants to be there, which is a huge thing, and it gives you a real boost and will hopefully help in the facilitation of signing other players as well. And it's a move not without a little bit of risk, I think, because he's coming in to be the player that scores like 20 goals a season. He's never managed that in the Premier League. He's had a couple of like plus 20 goals or 20 goals plus seasons in all competitions, but you know, he is 25. He presses brilliantly well, which is what Arteta wants. He seems like he has the character to sort of fit into the project Arsenal are trying to build, so I'm delighted with it. I didn't think we would get him when the rumours first came about, especially, you know, missing out on the Champions League, but it's a great bit of business.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you say he wants to be there. He clearly was open to this move because, you know, he'd won a lot of Manchester City, of course, but perhaps there was a little bit of a ceiling there and wanted to become the main man. But Andy, your friend Tim Vickery was talking about, he doesn't, playing as a centre-forward in this, you know, as a number nine, he was a little bit jaded from the Russia World Cup with Brazil from that, and seemingly prefers to play out wide. Do you think that that could be, I don't know, an issue might be too strong a word, but Arsenal, do you think, because they seem to be fairly stacked in those wide forward positions, do you think it could be a bit of an issue trying to get a tune out of Jesus as a number nine, or do you think he'd be playing on the wing more?
Not really. I think it's a positive for Arsenal, really, because I guess everyone sees them paying that sort of money for someone who wears the number nine shirt and is just, oh, don't be ridiculous. He has to play as a number nine. Well, he doesn't. You could stick him out left. Martinelli plays in the centre, and that's maybe good for both of them. And to have the ability to switch as well just gives Arsenal that little bit of extra fluidity. You know, there's no doubt about his quality. There's no doubt he's an upgrade. There's no doubt they need to buy another forward as well after what's happened in the last season. I think that adaptability is a good thing for Arsenal rather than a bad thing. And when you're looking at Martinelli, so much of this has got to be about him, because he's a player that it was clear from the first time he got the sniff of the Arsenal first team that he's a very special player. He's become very important, even more important for them in the last season. And I think a lot of it has to be about his future development, because I honestly think Martinelli is going to be Arsenal's best player in the next 2 years or so.
It's interesting with Martinelli playing down the middle, because Arteta's tried it a few times and it's not come off immediately, but it does. There is a sense that he is going to move into that central position at some point. So as you say, Jesus can come in and facilitate that, that would be really good. Jesus himself has said, I'm here.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Here to be a number nine. I'm here to play down the middle and score goals, essentially. But, you know, as you say, that this part of the point of signing Fabio Vieira as well is that kind of adaptability and why he wants Lisandro Martinez, because he can play very well in lots of different positions. He wants players that can switch around constantly in the game, because obviously he's, you know, he's a student of Guardiola. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to replicate that as best he can. So, yeah, I'm excited to see those two play together.
Mm. Andy, we're going to finish with a bit of Fulham chat. Kebab. They've signed Sporting midfielder João Palhinha for £20 million. Andy, talk to me. Is he going to fire Fulham to back into the Europa League?
Well, you know what? He's a player that I'm surprised hasn't gone to, with no disrespect to Fulham, a slightly...
Well, it's going to be disrespectful,
isn't it? Yeah, whenever someone says that, you've got your heart in your mouth. I think it's a great get for Fulham. And he's a player who deserves to be Portugal's starting defensive midfielder. He's the best player they have in that position. So I think it's an absolutely immense signing for them. He's really judicious on the ball. He's an absolute cupboard who doesn't let other players get past him as well. I think he's just a terrific get for Fulham. And someone who can organise them a little bit on the pitch, who can protect the defence. He's got his best years ahead of him. I think he's going to be absolutely terrific for Fulham. Just need another 7 or 8 now. Not my words, Marcus. The words of Marco Silva.
Well, the words of Marco Silva are apparently crucial in Big João going there. Because as you say, there was a lot of other clubs. I mean, you could tempt him. You see, you know, just come to the stadium. Let's have a walk down by the river. Isn't it lovely here? See, up there, it's going to be a swimming pool soon. Mitrovic is going to score at least 12 goals.
Yeah? You think?
That's my
is that
prediction.
Right?
Yeah. He did score 10 a couple of seasons. People saying, yeah, double figures. He's done double figures for Fulham in the Premier League. 10. Okay, you need two numbers to make up 10. I think he's going to score at least 12 in the season. People might be a bit snooty, 12 goals. Well, that's not a bad return for a side that will almost certainly be in a relegation battle. But we've got to trust Marco Silva, Andy. Excellent stuff. All right, everybody. Before we go, it's just one more sleep until the Women's Euros. And we've got so much planned for you. Up Front are going to be back with 3 episodes a week on Football Ramble Presents throughout the tournament. But one of those 3 episodes will also be dropped on here after every single England game. So keep an eye out for the first Up Front Euros pod on Thursday after the curtain raiser, England versus Austria. Come on. Hey, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Thank you very much for listening to today's Football Ramble, everybody. Part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll be back very, very soon. But until then, thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Toss bells.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.